Well, y'all, I have a praise report and a prayer request wrapped in one. It's a little funny, okay? So just relax. Nick's Donuts opened on my street. I know, right? Praise the Lord. Jesus, help me. Woo! Yeah, I passed it this morning and I'm like, oh no, the open sign was flashing and I'm like, I'm in trouble. Because I could literally walk there. It's so close. It is at the end of my street. So y'all pray for me. Maybe I should bring donuts one Sunday morning to show you how good they are from there. Okay. Oh, darn, they're saying, yeah, praise the Lord. Why? Yeah, basement roast and donuts. That's Nick's Donuts. That's a good combo right there. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give you an update on the Asbury Revival. Some of you have been following it pretty closely online, as I have. I've listened to lots of hours of it online. And it's amazing to me how when you watch it online, you can immerse yourself in exactly what's happening there. It's amazing to me. And it touches me and it blesses. I weep mostly. I just weep. And it's not emotion for me. It's weeping with joy that there are so many people who are hungry for God. Like, that blesses me. But I looked up the meaning of the word revival, because it means something different to most of us, right? And it says in Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says, it's a renewed interest in or attention to something. And I was like, yeah, that's a good way to spell it out. It's just anytime there's a renewed interest or attention to something, in our case, someone, that's revival. It's a waking up, right? So it's amazing to me that it's still happening. The last I heard, I think on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, they had bussed in college students from 24 universities, both secular and Christian, to come and soak in what's happening in Asbury. And I don't know how long it's going to last. I have great respect for the leadership, who the way they're running it, because they're really paying attention on how to protect the purity of it and also how to create sustainability. So that's really amazing to me. But if you want to look it up, look it up. It's fantastic. And we get to be alive in a time like this. Wow. We get to be alive in a time like this. So I'm thankful for that. Ladies, I want to say this before I forget, because last week I didn't announce anything, basically. If you want a brochure to go to the castle this year for our ladies' retreat, see Stephanie, and she will get you a brochure. And if you've never been, if you go once, you'll never have to be asked again to go. So, right, ladies, like, looking forward to it. I need to meet with you guys and talk about it. I haven't done that yet. So, anyway, it's been kind of an interesting year. So anyway, if you want to go see Stephanie. Also, we bought a Valentine's background to take pictures with last week, and then I forgot to tell you about it. And most of you forgot that it was there. So if you want to get your picture taken, either with your family or with some of your church family, it's just a fun way to remember that you love each other. That's all. Okay, so take advantage of that on your way out. It's in the foyer on the right as you're leaving. Today, I think we're going to have a message called Grounded in Truth. Our whole message series this month has been grounded. And some of you in the room, that's a good word. When I was 15 years old and I was grounded for 2 weeks for being 6 minutes late to my curfew, it was not a good word. Well, in my mind then, it wasn't a good word. In my mind now, I see the value of it, so it has become a good word. Does that make sense? But that's not really the kind of grounding we're talking about. We're talking about finding your center, finding what stabilizes you, because we want to go on adventures in 23. We want to experience adventures in God, mostly, in 2023. But in order to do that, you need to have a place that you can be stable in and feel daring enough to risk going out and doing an adventure. because you're in this place of stability and sureness, okay? So we need to know what grounds us. The first week, Dave talked about being grounded in love. He called it ground zero. Good message. I recommend you go online and listen to it. Last Sunday, we were going to do grounded in truth, but God preempted us, and we did grounded in presence instead. And we just sat in his presence and worshiped, and it was beautiful. But today, I want to talk about how to stay grounded in truth. So what is truth? What is truth? Anybody want to call it out without a microphone? What is truth?
The love of God.
The love of God? Jesus? Anything else? The word? Truth. Mm-hmm. Truth. So why does it matter? Why does truth matter? Because we live in an age where people say, my truth is dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Your truth is dot, 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 right? And so truth is kind of all over the place, right? Why does it matter what truth is? I'm not checking Facebook. I'm loading an app that I just got. It's a compass map. Have you ever seen one of these? It's really cool. It's a compass map. So if you have a traditional compass that's not electronic, you have to make adjustments to north, because there is a such thing as magnetic north, and then there's true north, right? And usually they're pretty close to each other. They're within 15 degrees or less, but it fluctuates depending on the magnetic pull of the earth. Now think about this.
Wow.
Think about this, right? So I'm gonna point my compass until it says north, but I have this little button at the top that says magnetic heading. So right now it is at zero north, if I can keep it still. Now I'm gonna press the button that says true heading, and now it says 345 degrees. North, it's changing. 343, 341, 340. It's changing because true north and magnetic north are two different things. I don't really understand it. I just know that if you take a real compass out into the wilderness and you follow magnetic north, you're going to get north, but you're not going to get to the North Pole. That's how much I know. Somebody else could give you a lot better understanding, but that's what I know. I'm a practical girl, right? So why does that matter? Well, it doesn't much matter in our world, because most of us have apps and other navigation systems to help us get where we need to go. But if you were out in the middle of the wilderness and you followed magnetic north and not true north, at some point those few degrees are going to get you not where you need to be, but somewhere else. And during worship, I felt like the Lord said, there are people in the room who you have forgotten true north. You've let the magnetic pull of earth pull you off just the tiniest bit, and you think you're fine, but you're not going in the direction you want to end up. And God wants to adjust you to true north today, because truth matters. It matters. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word for truth, I'm not going to massacre it, but it means this. It means firmness. It means reliability. It means sureness without fluctuation. Without any magnetic pull, it's sure. In the Old Testament, when the word truth is used and it's talking about people, it refers to honesty, not lying, right? It refers to actions, walking in the same way that you speak, so that your words and your actions are congruent. Okay? When it talks about God, it tells us that God is the source of truth, that he is abounding in truth. When it talks about truth and his word, it's talking about both the spoken word of God and the written word of God. And it's found 82 times in the Old Testament, the word truth. Interestingly, I looked at the words that it was paired with in the Old Testament. So you know how it'll say truth and this, or this and truth. And these are the words it's paired with: faithfulness. Whew, I'm glad God is true, because I can count on him. He is true north. He doesn't fluctuate. He doesn't change his mind. He's sure. It's paired with mercy. Oh, thank you, God. We all need mercy. It's paired with sincerity. It's paired with kindness. Woo, hallelujah. It's paired with righteousness, peace, light, wholeheartedness, humility, favor, grace, justice, and loyalty. That's why it matters. Because we need that in our world. We need that in our minds. I need that in my heart, because it's so easy. I watch 5 minutes of the news and I'm like, my compass is going, you know, it's kind of going nuts on me. And then I spend time with Jesus in his presence and my compass comes into line. And I go, oh yeah, that's right. I remember now what matters. I remember now the way I need to think, the way I need to speak, the way I need to treat people. I remember now. Oh, yeah, that's right. In the New Testament, the word truth, this is so interesting to me. It's when reality perfectly matches appearance. When I laugh at these reality shows. I haven't watched one in ages. But I laugh because of how unreal they are. Yep. And they're supposed to be reality shows. And it's so confusing to me because it's obvious how staged they are. And there's nothing of reality in them, most of them. They're fake. But in the New Testament, truth means when appearance and reality are together. They're the same. Jesus, when it talks about in the New Testament truth, it says that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the source of truth, and it says they speak words of truth. Jesus said, often I speak words of truth, right? When it talks about people, is again, speaking honestly and walking in. When it talks about the enemy, it says there is no truth in him. There is not any truth in the enemy at all. And interestingly, it calls him the father of lies. But interestingly, when the Pharisees and religious leaders were trying to trap Jesus, they flattered him falsely by saying, "We know you speak words of truth." They didn't really believe that, but they said it. We know you speak words of truth. And then when it talks about the word in the New Testament being true, interestingly, it uses both the logos word, which means spoken word. In John, when it says, in the beginning was the word, that word is logos, which means spoken word. But it also means graphe, which is the collection of holy writings being true, okay? Now, of course, in the New Testament, when they were writing that, I think it's Timothy, several other places, when they were writing about the collection of holy scriptures, they didn't have any of the New Testament at that point. They only had the Old Testament. But they still said the collection of holy writings is true. So I have 2 points that I had 4 last week, but I chopped out two over the week. I felt like I was supposed to. Point number one, God is the source of truth. I am not. I look back over my life and how 15 years ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, I believed something to be true, and now I go, yeah, I was wrong on that. And then there are other things I believe to be true that I still believe to be true. I fluctuate. God does not. God is safe. He is stable. In Psalm 25, 4 and 5, it says this, Lord, tell me your ways. This is David talking. Lord, tell me your ways. Show me how to live. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, my God, my Savior. I trust you all day long. Now, we know David as the man of extravagant worship, and I love that about him. We know David is the one who had a heart after God. But in this passage, I love that David was not saying, okay, God, this is what I believe. Now show me in your word proof of why I'm right. That's what many of us do with the Bible. We make a supposition, and then we look for ways to prove it in the word. Oh, and that gets us in trouble. Instead, David said, just show me your truth, and then I will make my decisions based on what you show me. Show me your ways. I think that's why he was called a man after God's own heart. I was having a little talk with the Lord last night before I went to bed over something I needed to repent of, and I confessed it to the Lord, and I said, God, help me. Because the way I see this situation is very different than the way you see this situation. So I confess that I need your help to see this rightly. On my own, I don't see it rightly. But I want to see it your way. In John 14 and 6, Jesus is talking and he says, I am the way. And I am the truth and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. Interestingly, that word way, when he said, I am the way, he said, it's saying, I am the action. Not I'm just the path. I am the way. I am the path that you walk. So there's an action involved. When he said, I am the truth, of course, he meant what you see is reality. The reality and the appearance perfectly match. And then he said, I am the life. That actually means I am your very breath. I am the one who gives you breath, and I am the one who sustains your breath. You see, God is the source of truth. I am not. Now, I will do my best to follow Jesus with all my heart, and I will say like Paul did, follow me as I follow him. But if there's a way that I'm not following him, don't follow me. Follow him. Because I'm human, and I make mistakes, and I blow it, and I say the wrong thing sometimes, and I don't say what I need to say sometimes. I am not the source of truth. God is. John 15, 26 says, I will send you the helper. This verse is so interesting to me because it's Jesus talking, but you find the Trinity in one verse. And it's both amazing and confusing. I will send you the helper from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. When he comes, he will tell all about me. Now, we serve one God. We know that. One God. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and he's the Spirit of truth, and he comes from the Father, but we're all one. I don't really understand that. Not going to try to build a doctrine for that one, because I can't really understand it. But here's what I do. I trust God. I trust that he knows what I need. And I trust that when Jesus says, I'm going to send you the helper who is the Spirit of truth, I'm going to trust Jesus was telling me the truth when he said that. And so I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I can discern the truth when I need to. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this, All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong in their lives. It is useful. That's confounding right there. Showing people what's wrong in their lives. Oh, well, okay. I don't think that means we're supposed to use it to club someone. I think it's showing me what's wrong in my life. It shows me. It's not a club. It's a tool. It's a scalpel to do surgery. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching how to live right. Now, that scripture is not logos. It's not just the spoken words of Jesus, although those are wonderful and I cherish them. It is the collection of holy writings. And it said this, irrespective of minds or morals. Let that soak in for a moment. Because today, there's a whole lot of people who think this is no longer wrong. But Scripture says it's wrong. Who are you going to believe? Well, I just think the Bible is outdated and antiquated and da-da-da. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's true. Yes, there are parts of Scripture that are culturally relevant that may not be culturally relevant today. That's between you and the Lord to work that out, okay? But when you start going around and believing that something specifically stated as being a sin in the Old and New Testament, and you make up your mind that it's not sin anymore, that's a problem. It's a problem for me if I decide something is no longer a sin. It's a problem for you if you decide something is no longer a sin. It's getting off course. It's getting to magnetic north instead of true north. God is the source of truth. I am not. Truth matters. I'll tell you a story. I have time, I guess. It's a silly little story. A couple of months ago. So this year, for whatever reason, I've had the invasion of the stink bugs at my house. I've lived there for 6 years, almost 7 years, and I've never had an issue with them, maybe one or two or three in a whole season. This year, it's been a lot. A lot. One time, I got one. So what I do when I find a stink bug in my condo is I get a tissue, I pick it up. You can't kill it. If you kill it, it will stink, hence the name, and it will draw other stink bugs to you. And so that's not the answer. For a long time, I used to toss them outside, and I'm like, no, they're going to go make babies and have more and come back to my house. So no, we're not going to do that. So my new technique for the last probably 4 years is flushing them down the toilet. Sorry if you're offended. You know, it's just my way of dealing with it. I traumatized my grandson by doing that in front of him because he loves bugs. And he was like, where it going? Where it going? I go, it's going on a water ride. Then he was fine. But one day, I saw a stink bug on the floor near my dining room in the corner, and I'm like, oh, another one? So I pick up a tissue, and I go and pick it up. And when I picked it up, I thought, this doesn't feel like a stink bug normally feels. But it wasn't well lit, you know. So I go into the bathroom to flush it down the toilet, and I look. Y'all, I am holding a spider in my hands with the tissue. And his little head is sticking out. His two of his legs were doing this. And I'm like, wah! I don't like spiders. I can handle snakes okay, no problem, because I have three sons and they love snakes and I got used to them. I very much dislike mice. That's the worst. But spiders are really close. And I'm like, ah! So what am I going to do with it now? Yeah, water ride time. But I screamed as I released it. I didn't release it. I threw it because I was afraid it was going to jump back on me. Right? Truth matters. If I had known that was a spider, honey, it would have gotten the bottom of my shoe, not my fingers. Right? Truth matters. So we seek to understand truth. When I pick up my Bible, I told you every morning when I read now, I say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me understand Scripture. Open my mind to what you have for me today in the Scripture. I'm reading Leviticus. I need an extra dose. You know? Every day I see something that matters. Receive His truth bathed in love. It's bathed in love. Point number two. My understanding of truth grows as I remain. As I remain. Remain in what? I'll tell you in a minute. John 15, 7 through 9. Remain in me. Jesus is talking. Remain in me and follow my teachings. I'm interested that Jesus said, remain in me and follow my teachings. He didn't just say, hang out with me. If you do this, then you can ask anything, ask for anything you want, and it will be given to you. You should produce much fruit and show that you are my followers. This brings glory to my Father. I loved you as the Father loved me. Now remain in my love. So remain in Jesus. Remain in his teachings. Remain in his love. That doesn't mean truth changes. That means I change. I adapt my compass to him. I don't ask him to adapt his compass to me. It's so wildly different. And yet we've made God almost like this great higher power, but that we want to control. We want to tell him what his word means. We want to tell others what his word means without really getting with him to understand what he says it means. Because there's a whole lot of scriptures you can make say anything. Really, you know it, I do. If you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, you know you can take a scripture and twist it around to mean anything you want it to mean almost. So we need to remain so that we hear from the Lord. There's another story in Acts 19, 1 through 6, and I just find it so interesting. It tells itself pretty well, so I'm not going to give background on it. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul was visiting some places on the way to Ephesus. There he found some followers. Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "We've never even heard of a Holy Spirit." So he asked, "What kind of baptism did you have?" They said, "It was the baptism that John taught." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of changed hearts and lives." He didn't say, "That doesn't work anymore." He just says, "That's a different baptism." He told people to believe in the one who would come after him. That one is Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began speaking different languages and prophesying. Here's what I noticed about that passage these last 2 weeks as I've studied it and read it and prayed over it. There were two things required for their understanding to grow. Humility and community. Humility in that they didn't say, "Nah, we're good. We got John's baptism. We don't need anything else. Get away from me." They were teachable instead. They were like, "Oh, okay." I love their humility. They never fought Paul on it. They never said, "We're not about that. That's for that. Those people across the way. That's not for us." They just received with humility, but also it requires remaining in community to have your understanding grow. I am so thankful. Excuse me. For people who are in my life who show me new facets of God. New facets of truth that I haven't previously seen. I've witnessed over my life. I've told you before, my dad was a pastor and I grew up in ministry. I was playing on the worship team from the time I was 9 years old, and then I've been in ministry most of my adult life. And I'm amazed and saddened equally by the number of people who break away from community of believers and they think they're going to be fine. And I'm not saying they're not going to make it to heaven. That's between them and God. I don't know. But this is what I know. My understanding of truth grows as I remain in community. Who doesn't want their understanding of truth to grow? People who depart from community, they invariably, in my opinion, seem to get off course. And like I said, listen, God loves them enough to go wherever, how far ever off we are. Of course, he will chase us down. He doesn't stay on the course. He chases us down. He loves us. David said, even if I go all the way to Hades, God loves me there. Okay? But it's sad because you end up in a different place than you plan to go. You end up in a different place when you get off course. Humility and community are needed for your understanding of truth to grow. Remaining in Jesus, his word, and his love. Important. We're going to have corporate communion today. If you would like to participate, I invite you to move to one of the side tables, pick up a cup that has juice and a cracker in it, and then come back to your chair, and we will take it all together. So don't take it until I come back. Thank you. I just love that Jesus used bread. Unleavened bread, so that's why we have a cracker. But it's so common. It's so everyday. Like, I'm really thankful he didn't expect us to make this fancy dish that requires 30 hours of input to make this fancy dish. He just took the most common thing available. And he said, take and eat this bread. It is my body which is broken for you. So if you want to, break the cracker in pieces. God, we thank you for how common bread is. And yet you took the most common thing and you turned it into something incredibly holy. Thank you for your son Jesus, who allowed his body to be broken so that we could be made whole in every way. And we do this today to remember you and your sacrifice for us. Let's take the bread together. We have juice, we don't have wine. But Jesus had wine, and he said, this wine is my blood, which will be poured out for many to begin the new agreement from God to his people. This isn't a reminder of what we did. It's a reminder of what he did. God says, I'm doing things a new way. He didn't change. He made it easier for us. God, we ask you to adjust our compasses today. As we take this juice in a moment, we ask you to readjust our compass to true north. You, your word, your love, your righteousness, your kindness, your truth. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to have that kind of connection with you, that you can actually adjust our compass. So we ask you to do that today as we take this juice together. Amen. And God, I pray for every person here. I pray that you would make us seekers of your truth, that we would not attempt to build a case that we want to stand on, but instead we would come to you and seek out your truth. I pray that you would help us to be humble in our approach to it, not beating anyone with it, but letting it mold us, letting it carve out of our hearts what needs to be carved out, letting it add to our hearts what needs to be added by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would help us to pair your truth with grace and kindness and love in huge measures for the sake of your kingdom. Because we do want your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Next week, grounded in grace. Grounded in grace. Grounded in love. Grounded in presence, grounded in truth, grounded in grace, wrapping up the month. If you would like to stay and hang out and have bagels and coffee and community, go through those doors. It'll be on the right as you're exiting. Hang out for as long as you want. I've never run anybody out. People say, Sandy's ready to leave. I've never asked anybody to leave. Just chill. It's all good. And have a great week. Thanks for coming today.